There's a word that we hear often. It's a word found probably more times in the book of Psalms than practically any other word. Can you think what that word is? Praise. I was thinking as I asked that question, that's probably true. And that's not the word I'm looking for. That is probably a correct answer that Brother Bruno gave. What's another word that you find particularly in the Psalms? What? Sing. Selah. Selah. S-E-L-A-H. And that's the theme of our devotional. You see it in so many of the Psalms. That's really the only place you ever see the word. Sometimes we think of the word similar to our word amen. And it's not that dissimilar. Its thoughts are somewhat like that. But they are a little different. One of the Psalms where we find the word is the 67th Psalm. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. It has been suggested by many that wherever you see this word Selah, or Selah as I sometimes pronounce it, that it means stop. Stop where you are. Pause for a minute. Think over what you've read. And now read on and connect with what you are going to read with what you have read. That's a lot of meaning to put in one little word. But if you think of that, think of the psalm again. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Stop. Think about God's mercies to you. Think about his blessings. Now connect those blessings with what comes ahead. Your responsibility. That your way may be known among the earth. Thy saving health among all the nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all people praise thee. Let nations be glad and sing for joy, because you will judge the people righteously. You will govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Stop. Think about that. How God will judge the nations righteously. And then go on to the next thought and connect it. Therefore, let the people praise thee. O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. We thought that this topic is so appropriate for the first Sunday of a new year. Let this Sunday be a Sunday of Selah. Think upon the old year. Think upon the blessings that it has given you. The trials, its experiences. Stop. Reflect. And connect them with the experiences of the new year that are coming before you. 1985 has been a good year for us. It's been a rich year as an ecclesia. We've had a year of growth. We've had a year of some privileges in public witness. We've had a year of good studies together. We had a year of perhaps being bound closer after some trials of the past. It's been a good year. A year filled of precious memories. We're going to ask the chorus to sing for us that song, Precious Memories. And they're going to follow that with another song that, between the two songs, just say to yourself, Selah. Think about what they sang and connect it with what they sing next. Precious Memories followed by another selection. Did you notice the Selah? Did you notice that as the year comes, we end with the precious memories, then we have the precious moments. The precious moments to reflect upon what the past has meant. The precious moments of prayer to ask the Lord's guidance for the year that lies ahead. That's the object of our devotion, to take the precious moments before us today and reflect on 1986. What will this year hold? What will it hold in our individual experiences? What will it hold in our ecclesia experiences? We don't know, do we? We can see the broad outline. We can see the outline that we have the assurance that whatever it holds, if we watch for it, it will bring us a step closer to the Lord. But the specific details are often hid from us. And we need to be willing to take these just as they come, not all at once, but however the experiences arrive, to go into those experiences and draw the lesson from each. The fact that we don't know what the individual experiences are is a blessing. If we did know, maybe we couldn't take them. We have that beautiful hymn, let's sing it together, number 110, that tells us there's only one step I see before me. It's all I need to see. 110.
Thank you.
The hymn blends together so much the uncertainties of our own knowledge and the certainty of the Lord's knowledge. And what a beautiful theme for the new year. Job, in one time in his experience, went through this. He said in Job 23, verses 8 and 9, I go forward, but God is not there. I go backward, and I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's all really we need to know, is that he knows. That he knows the way we're taking. He is guiding the individual experiences. It said that Cardinal Newman, in composing the hymn, Lead Kindly Light, had gone through these experiences of not being able to find his way. And then slowly, as he read the providence of the Lord, tracing them day by day. And after he went through the experience, he wrote that beautiful hymn, Lead, kindly light, amid the encircling gloom, lead thou me on. The night is dark, and I am far from home. Lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step enough for me. I was not ever thus, nor pray that thou shouldst lead me on. I love to choose and see my path. But now, lead thou me on. I love the garish day, and spite of fears, pride ruled my will. Remember not past years. So long thy power hath blessed me. Sure, it still will lead me on, or moor and fen, or crag and torrent, till the night is gone. And with the morn, those angel faces smile which I have loved long since and lost a while. When I think of self, I tremble. When I look to thee, I'm strong. How precious the promise that while today we may not understand, we know who holds tomorrow in his hand. Brother Richard Doctor will sing for us, I know who holds tomorrow.
Just live.
Selah. Stop. Think about those words. The beauty of that promise that we know who holds our hand as the one who can direct the experiences of tomorrow. We don't know exactly what tomorrow holds, but there is much we do know. We do know that if our hearts continue loyal to the Father, we will be drawn closer to Him. We do know that collectively as an ecclesia, we can approach closer and closer to the Father. Oh, we're made up of individuals. Our roles may not always be alike, maybe different experiences. But the closer we get to that goal, the closer we get to Christ-likeness, the closer we'll be to each other. You know, Israel was the same way. The Lord planned that for Israel, certain times a year, all of Jerusalem, all of Israel come to Jerusalem. They come for the Feast of the Passover. And as they would come, some from the north parts of Galilee, others from the Negev, others from the Shephelah, those from the Valley of Jezreel, each taking their own roads, they would sing hymns as they went along the road. It's thought by many that what they sang were those hymns that you find in Psalms 122 through 133, the Psalms of Degrees. Each day a new hymn, each day a step closer to the Lord. And finally, as they topped the last hills and they saw the city, and they saw the other hills and they saw pilgrims streaming from various parts of the country over those roads coming to the same destination, the hymn they would have sung is that hymn of Psalm 133. How good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like that precious ointment that they were going up to see in the tabernacle. That ointment that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. It's as the dew of Hermon, where some of them came from, as they journeyed upon those roads. And as the dew that descended, it descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Isn't it beautiful to know that the true unity which will truly bind the Christian is the unity in his Lord, the unity of coming closer to Christ-likeness. It is not in the flesh that we'll ever be one. It's in the Spirit. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And that's the hymn that the chorus will sing for us now. We will walk with each other. We will walk side by side. The Apostle Paul speaks of this walk in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father above all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. There are so many things, so many blessings that we share in this tremendous unity of the Spirit of Christ. In addition to the catalog that Paul lists, one of the things that I think we all especially appreciate is a unified vision. A vision of a kingdom for all mankind. A vision that God's plan is much broader than the narrow sects of Christendom has so often taught, but it reaches every man, woman, and child who's ever lived. It has a breadth that stretches to all and a length that stretches to eternity. That also was in that hymn, but together we'll spread the message that God has a plan. I think there has perhaps been nothing that has thrilled any of us so much as the outline of that plan as it unfolds through the book, The Divine Plan of the Ages. As we see the beautiful unfolding step by step of that plan, and then after seeing that vision, the unity of that vision, we come to that hard-hitting closing chapter, concluding thoughts, where it says, seeing a vision, we have a responsibility to tell a vision, to tell it out among the nations that the Lord is King. The chorus again is going to sing for us. They're going to sing for us this privilege of, go, tell it on the mountains. Once again, the word is Selah. Think about that privilege. Think about the tremendous opportunity to be an ambassador for Christ, one who has a message to tell out. How we have rejoiced in times past as we as an ecclesia have had the privilege of giving forth in one way or another that message of truth. The privilege that to tell that what has stirred our hearts to others, so they can stir their hearts as well. And as we tell it, there's one here and one there who picks up the theme, and they choose to tell it as well. Some choose to join, and affiliate themselves with us in study and fellowship. Others are just touched by the message and tell it to friends that they know, and leave their privilege be in the telling forth of the same glories and beauties of that kingdom. But as we face 1986, and as we look at the privileges we have, and I'm sure we'll have collectively in telling forth that message, let us never forget that this is not only a collective thing, but it's personal as well. There is a personal privilege as well as responsibility to respond to the truth that we have, to respond by maybe just telling a friend at work, maybe a neighbor across the fence, but wherever the Lord sends us, to realize that He is sending us there for the privilege of being an ambassador in word and in deed to the great truths that He's given us. Think about the early church, how the Lord at that time took 12, and He called them apostles. Apostles, ones who were sent forth on a mission. In fact, the Lord Himself was an apostle. He is the great apostle and high priest of our profession. He also was sent forth on a mission. For this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. And so He said on one occasion, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." Sister Josie will sing for us, "So send I you." As that song so beautifully brings forth, we are sent forth not only to be ambassadors from the standpoint of spreading God's word through public witnessing, but we're sent forth also in service to the brethren. We're sent forth to labor and to labor as one family. To think of what the year holds ahead in service to those who may be sick, to those who may be needy, what we can do to assist them in their lots. The privileges we have in the class through such avenues as your publishing committee to service the brethren of their needs for materials and the truth. The privilege we have in servicing the brethren throughout the world with the calendars at the end of the year as a reminder weekly of the Lord's promises and His goodness to them, and to keep our minds all together focused on the sameness of the promise that we have and its uniqueness in our lives. Our service to our children. We have a lovely group of children in our class, and to be able to see them and to watch them as they grow up and as they try to emulate the patterns they see amongst those who are adults, and to be a benefit and a blessing unto them. In all of these things, the Father has said, the Lord Jesus has said to us, as the Father sent me, so send I you. At times we look at the scope of that work, we see the challenges that the year ahead may hold for us, and it may seem to be overwhelming. It may seem to be really more than we are physically able or capable of doing and accepting all the privileges and responsibilities that may be there. But there again, we can know that if we take them, each as they come, just a step at a time, we take them for the privileges they hold and say, Lord, I just ask, not strength for tomorrow, but just strength for today, and do that day's task, another day will come. As day by day, we go on in the footsteps of our Lord, we are led in that direction. We'll now be favored with the song, As Day by Day.
again, a very beautiful thought that each day we have the strength of the Lord to go on to that day's journey. He will lead the way through. It is ours merely to do the Lord's will. But to do the Lord's will means first we must know the Lord's will. How beautiful that scripture that we so often quote in consecration in Romans 12:1, where it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And then he goes to that responsibility to know what that service is. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by that renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and that acceptable and that perfect will of God. And there, too, is an experience of the new year for us, that as the Lord has led us in our studies, our individual studies and our class studies, in the year that is behind us, so he has promised to lead us in the year that is ahead of us. It is for us to follow the commission of Paul when he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, brethren, may 1986 be a year of renewed devotion in our studies. May we have renewed zeal. May we study with honesty to find out the Lord's will and not to prove some preconceived opinion, but to see what the Lord is telling us and what he is teaching us through his word. May we study with regularity, both personally and in our class studies. May our studies truly be a delving into that storehouse of truth that we have in God's holy word. Let's sing about that by turning our hymn books to number 296. Search the scriptures, search and see. 296. so, dear brethren, I will leave you with but one word, Selah. Consider this past year. With joy, let us go forth to the challenges, the goals of the year that lays ahead in 1986. We're going to close, brethren, with two prayers. We're going to all rise. We're going to sing our first prayer together. Hymn number 208. Let that be a prayer for the new year. And then we're going to ask Brother Bruno Hack if he would come forward and lead us in a prayer, particularly dedicating this new year to the Lord in each of our lives. 208. Let's rise and sing all the verses of 208 as a closing prayer.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The God of all, the God of the universe, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, we come to thee in the merit of Christ. We are overwhelmed in our hearts and minds with the joy which has been ours this day. Yea, as we look back over the past year, thy leadings, thy guidance, thy keeping power, we acknowledge thee for this. And now as we are on the threshold of the year before us, we seek thy guidance, thy direction, knowing of ourselves we are weak, we need thee every hour. We thank thee, Father, for the sentiments that have been expressed this hour in hymn, praises, words, stirring up of our minds and hearts of our relationship with thee. We want to demonstrate our appreciation, Father, by a closer walk with thee. To this end, we resolve that we will prove faithful in the things which yet lie before us before we complete our course. We realize of ourselves we are nothing, we need thy grace. And so may we ever look to thee, calling upon thy various promises, and ever remembering how thou hast led us in the past, thou wilt continue to do so. To thee we ascribe all the praise and honor. And we think not only of ourselves who are here assembled, but those who would like to have been here. Yea, we think of the saints everywhere. We long for the kingdom may soon come. And our earnest individual desire is that we may hear thy well done. To thee we ascribe all the praise and thanks in Jesus' name.